Do you ever feel like you're on a runaway roller coaster every now and then? We have some confessions down front here. But you know, truthfully, it does sometimes life can take us on those so-called joy rides when we least expect them. It may not be yourself personally, but it may be a family member, a friend, or a neighbor. But boy, you better hold on for life. It's like eating a peppermint patio to take your breath away. And truthfully, we all have had that experience at one time or the other. You may be having it right now. And sometimes it may be with people whom you are not quite used to where they're coming from, and they just take you by surprise, and you just want to get the bull by the horns and take them down. Now, that's not saying anything negative, but we like to make sure that things are under control. And moments happen every time you turn around where that doesn't seem to happen. And I guess we're all in a state sometimes, not that we're what they call control freaks, but we like for things to be going smoothly, and yet it seems like people are in such a fast-paced lifestyle today. Look at how the stock market goes up and down, and all the different things, gas prices, or whatever it may be, it just takes our breath away when it happens. Well, what happens, like I said, if it happens personally? How do you cope with such a thing? Well, sometimes you just have to do something and find a solution about it. And the best thing is to pray to God at first so that things won't get even worse than what they are. So we all have had those moments in life, and it can make a difference too. Now here we see the Lord at the temple. And what did he see when he walked into the temple? People were selling merchandise. Now, that would be like if we had Walmart to open up a store in our narthex, and you could go shopping. You wouldn't have to even leave the church to do it. Well, that might sound nice on the surface, but you know, you really wonder about, well, why would we do such a thing? Well, you know, sometimes people will lure that idea of making a profit. And even in church, we have profit-making people. Nothing wrong with making a profit, but those things are not done normally. But they were being done in the temple. They had their own Walmart there. And Christ said in the scripture, he used the Old Testament, that his house shall not be used, you know, for a house of merchandise. And he got a sort of a whip, and just started, like a lasso, and just started sort of running them out of the temple. Well, he had to do something about that. But what happens if it's personal? What happens if something comes up and you are just confused and overwhelmed? You don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to walk out of the pulpit for a change. I remember in my last semester at seminary, I was no longer an associate minister. I'd given that up because I was wanting to finish my second master's degree. And I became a member of this really nice church, a suburban church, very posh and everything like that. And I remember I had to do a class, and it was called a praxis class, P-R-A-X-I-S. And what it would get experience of you doing something within the local church. Well, guess what? They had a director of Christian education. They call it DCE, or a minister of education, whatever you want to call him. And he approached me one day, and he says, "Anthony, I need somebody to be a Sunday school teacher." Well, you know what that means. That's a death knell. It means it'll be yours till they slam the casket lid on you, you know? Well, I got thinking. I said, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to do that. So guess what it was? It was a class of sixth graders. And now, how many of y'all ever taught sixth graders? Yes, Dottie has. And I'm telling you what, you're in for a treat when it happens. Well, here's another thing. It wasn't just the class, but the locale. They had no space for the sixth graders in the children or the middle school or the high school departments. So guess where they put them? Senior adult area of the Sunday school, the education building. Well, I'm sorry, but you just don't do something like that. It's not to be done. But I didn't make the decision. So my first Sunday, I walked in just smiling, and there were 15 boys and girls greeting me. It sounded like an NCAA basketball tournament in there. Open the door, whoo, the noise was something else. Well, I remember this one lady before I was walking down the hallway, and Wanda was her name. Wanda, sweet lady. I remember she carried a Bible up like that. And she patted me on the shoulder. She said, God bless you. And I thought, well, is this getting on the Titanic or something, you know? I wasn't for sure what to expect, but I had an inkling that what I was going to expect wasn't going to be exactly a bouquet of roses. And I walked in there, and it was quite chaotic. And there was a instigator. You know, every class of children or youth or teens have to have an instigator. Well, mine was Eric. And Eric was, he was a sixth grader, typical sixth grader. And he was constantly doing something, teasing, pulling pranks and everything. And I thought, the whole class was a nightmare that first. In fact, I had a knock on the door. He was one of the Sunday school teachers from the adjoining senior class. Mr. Gilbert, could you quieten your class down? We're trying to study a lesson here. And I looked at her like, well, I was like Custer at the Little Bighorn. You know, that was about the way it was. Well, three or four Sundays passed, and I just got to the point where I just dreaded to go to Sunday school. And all of a sudden, and I prayed about it. You know, if you're a Sunday school teacher with a bunch of sixth graders, you're going to be a person of prayer. I don't care what it is, you're going to be praying a lot. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me an inspirational idea. Now, there's an oblong table, and they were all sitting around. I remember this one little boy told me, he said, this girl, she's wanting to sit by me, and I don't want to. I said, wait for another year, and you'll be wanting her to sit beside you, you know. But that wasn't the story. Get back to Eric. And I was thinking, I've got to do something with Eric. I've got to get him on my side. So I walked around the table, and after we did crafts, I started teaching and all that. And Eric hadn't really started revving up yet, but I could hear his motor humming, you know. And what happened was, I walked around, and I did this. I started teaching class, and I put my Bible on top of his. You know, you don't have a pointed head. That's good. I'm going to start laying my Bible up here more often.
It's from that fall.
It is. And I put my Bible on top of his head. Guess what? I never had a more loyal student from that moment on than Eric. He was putty in my hands. He was very obedient, cooperative. It was like I had seen a miracle happen before me. I mean, the parting of the Red Sea wasn't even near as close as this miracle, you know? And so, actually, after a while, I didn't want to play favorites, you know, and get the other students upset with me, and I didn't. But Eric, we developed a special relationship. So one Sunday, as Sunday school was over, and I was getting my Bible and a few things like that, and he was still there, and I said, Eric, would you like to come down and sit with me in church? I sat with the single adult, and we sat closer to the front, and I said, but you go ask your parents, first of all. Well, I was down front there sitting, and I'd almost forgot about that request I'd given him. All of a sudden, I saw six people standing there at the pew where I was sitting, Mom and Dad and his siblings and Eric. And his mother came up to me, and she says, Mr. Gilbert, you don't know how much you've made an impact on Eric's life. He talks about you all the time and how he can't wait to come to Sunday school on Sundays. I wish I could imitate that here. You know, we'd have more people. But, you know, the thing about it is He and his parents and siblings joined me sitting in church that Sunday. And I thought, you know what? That is what it's all about. It's being there and extending kindness and love. And sure, sometimes you may get your toes stomped on the way. But you know what? It was worth the few Sundays there that I had to deal with agony and all that. But Eric, and I don't know, I might check sometime online and see if I could, I'm trying to remember his last name, and see what he's doing today. His family were very, I say, upper middle class. This was a very professional class church. I mean, people were doctors and lawyers and everything else included. But it was a very good church. It was also the church where I will always remember the communion table. And on communion Sunday, they had trays stacked up like that. And guess what? I was sitting probably, I'd say where Dottie and Becky and Shelly sitting. And I saw one of those stacks kind of looking like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And it started moving a little bit, and moving a little far. And then all of a sudden, wham! I mean, there were communion cups going all the way down the aisle. And I thought, I've been waiting all my life to see something like that, and it finally happened. But the church was a good church, and I'm glad I was able to make an impact on at least one young person's life. And what happened was, yes, I had to take the bull by the horns. I had to get control of the situation. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to cleanse the temple as the Lord did. The Lord's the Lord, and he could do what he wanted to do. But I think the approach to Eric had to be done with gentleness, consideration, and deliberate action that it wouldn't cause him to get upset and leave. And God blessed me by doing that. So when you're on that roller coaster ride, and it may be a family member, it may be a neighbor, it may be a friend, a longtime friend, whatever it is, God can help you with an answer if you will listen to God and be patient. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you tap your toes, and you say, well, Lord, I was waiting on your answer yesterday and you haven't come through for me yet. Well, maybe it takes a while. And you know, at the same time, we have to change a little bit too. If they got the full dose of what we would like to do to them, they probably would run away. But in this case, and I always think about Eric sometimes when I'm dealing with somebody who's not, say, somebody that I have any influence with, and I thought, well, if Eric changed, they can change. So Christ took hold of this situation, and it was not probably the most idealistic thing, and I just wonder what the apostles thought. Here was the Lord just running people out and turning tables over and throwing money everywhere in the world. So what were the disciples thinking about this? I'm sure they thought he'd lost his head. But then they knew him too. And they knew that he would not do anything that was not correct and according to his Father's will. So a lot of times in our Christian walk that we have, we're going to encounter people like the merchants in the temple or Eric's or whomever it is. And sometimes it's going to take us moving slowly. It may take us walking on sort of eggshells. But God will see us through all that. And that's the most important thing to remember, that if you need help, God will give it to you. You don't have to reach into the medicine cabinet every time and pull out a Valium to cope with things. God will help you. And it's always a sincere thought that what God is going to do is a lot better than you or I could ever come up with in 100 years. So you're dealing with problems right now? Ask God to help you out. You know, that's the thing about it. God will help us out. And it seems like, well, God only helps out those special people or what. We're all special to God. Don't ever forget it. Yes, we may look different, each of us. We may talk differently. We may even wear different sizes of shoes. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is that we turn to Him in our times of need. We can turn to God anytime, and sometimes when things are going well, sometimes we don't even think about God. But when things are rough, we should talk to God and say, God, help me out. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, I love revenge, but you know what? Revenge will only get you in further trouble, and it won't help you at all. But God will. I guarantee you, whatever God sets Himself to do, God will iron out those wrinkles that you thought was not going to ever come clean. And God will do those things. Sometimes we don't give God an opportunity or a chance to work because we think we can fix things on our own, don't we? And we think we're more clever than God. Now, we won't admit it. We're too so-called modest for that. But we sometimes have that attitude of, like, you know what? I don't know. I don't want to bother God. God never sleeps. God's more than that. Ever wake up at 2 in the morning with a problem and you say, how am I going to solve it? Well, you're only a prayer away. Ask God about it. Ask God, well, is there anything that I can do that you could show me that would be better than what I could ever come up with? And God will give you something there. It may not be immediately, but it's like what happened in that Sunday school class. I didn't think, I mean, to me, putting a Bible on somebody's head, that was the furthest thing from my mind. It was a little on the extreme side, but that boy loved it. There are some times when we have to take risks. And if God is in those risks, taking chances, it will come out better 100% of the time if we only trust God. And that is where the crux of the matter is. We just don't have the trust in God that we should. And it's all of us. It's not just one or two. And if we could develop a trust, and I'm talking about almost a blind, well, I will say a blind trust, if things would be a lot better in our lives. And I'm not just whistling Dixie either. That's the truth, the absolute truth. So I'm going to get back up to the pulpit. But life can give us some really horseshoe events and boomerangs that we don't expect and everything. So, you know, Christ in today's sermon was upset that God's temple was desecrated. To some people, his anger is upsetting too. But he had righteous anger. And he, you know, and it's interesting, he was morally indignant about the selling of commercial merchandise in the Lord's house. Sometimes the idea that Christ does not have the same characteristics that we do is totally wrong. Christ was tempted with everything that we are tempted with. Christ understands where we're coming from. Christ is not, he's not detached from our personal lives at all. And so truly today, there are vast critics of the 21st century church who say we may be too old-fashioned or out of date toward modern trends. But did you ever think about this? Does prayer ever get outdated? Does prayer ever get old-fashioned? Well, I don't think so. Sometimes we may be intimidated by what goes on outside, but we know that the Lord can never be intimidated. I always followed a quote, and I don't even know where I picked it up, but it says, methods may change as long as the gospel message doesn't change. So think about that. Think about that. The church should be relevant in all walks of life, but it shouldn't sell itself short to unbiblical whims. The church, regardless of various faith traditions, must maintain a vigil over its integrity, or it will end up hitting the skids. The church should be involved in the community, but let society not compromise the church by permitting it to lower its biblical standards. You know, I knew a preacher one time preached against Coke machines in the church. He said, we shouldn't be making a profit off Coca-Cola. Well, what he didn't realize, Coca-Cola, the local dealership of Coca-Cola, was donating half the money that was collected in the Coke machine to the church in the first place. But he didn't know that, the minister. I think it was 10 years before he found out what Coke was doing. So, you know, there's some things that's worth fighting for. And there's other things. You know the old saying, pick and choose your battles. I'm finding my battles are being less and less every year, you know. When I was coming out of Sydney, I rolled my sleeves up and I thought, I'm going to hit the world boxing, you know. But you know what? Sometimes it's not worth it. Sometimes what is worth it is to make sure that you're in the good grace standings of God before you tackle anything. And most of the time, what we tackle should be done with velvet gloves. And so God's house, like what the Lord discovered, was not a place where it was blessed by the Holy Spirit. It is now, because the Holy Spirit blesses this place. People come to church to seek spiritual restoration and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and not material gain. For centuries, people have been astounded, again, that the Lord threw out those money changers from the temple. But you know what? Something that we have to remember, and as I was with that Sunday school class, if it had been an Anthony Gilbert agenda there, that I was going to make sure that they respected me, that I was going to get my 2 cents worth in, that Sunday school class probably would have folded up. What did I do? And I did it not in the sense of trying to be self-righteous. I called upon God to help me. You know, the thing about it, and it goes for every church, God will bless every church who happened to be obedient and compassionate to following through with what he wants us to do. You know, the Great Commission says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. That's out of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Can we say that we can truly do that? I think we do a fairly good job, but can you say yourself? Are you following the Great Commission yourself? Are you being obedient to what the Lord wants you to do? And I'm not saying board the next plane to go to Beijing or Calcutta or to Cape Town. Not at all. Are you being obedient to what God wants you to do here in Bartow? That can make a difference. How many differences can you make in some people? Heard Betty talk about helping senior adults with our missions. There's things out there. Be praying about where we could do our missions for senior adults. Hey, heaven knows there's enough of us around, aren't they? So we must look to God to help us. And God may tell each of you, well, I know this organization. I know this place. God will open those doors up for us if we will only ask him. Trust, again, is the case. We have it on our coins, in God we trust. Can we really truly trust him? I think so. Let us pray. Lord, in our lives, we are on a seemingly eternal runaway roller coaster. Let us take the bull by the horns and say, you are the one in control, that you're the one that's going to run our own lives and not ourselves. We know sometimes we think we do know more than you. But let us not be under false impressions of that, because we know that's not true. Help us to yield to you more and more every day of our lives. We ask this through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.